Lord, help us to commence this evening with hymn 762. How soft the words my Saviour speaks, how kind the promises he makes. A bruised reed he never breaks, nor will he quench the smoking flax. 762.
The word of God is from the Gospel as recorded by Matthew chapter 6. Gospel as recorded by Matthew chapter 6. Take heed that ye do not your alms before men to be seen of them, otherwise ye have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. Therefore when thou doest thine alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee as the hypocrites do, in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But when thou doest alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth, that thine alms may be in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret himself shall reward thee openly. And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray, standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. But when ye pray, use not vain repetitions, as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask him. After this manner therefore pray ye: Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, for ever. Amen. If ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Moreover, when ye fast, be not as the hypocrites, of a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces, that they may appear unto men to fast. Verily, I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou fastest, anoint thine head and wash thy face, that thou appear not unto men to fast, but unto thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold, the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are you not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? Why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. Yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore take no thought, saying, What shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. May the Lord bless his word to us and help us in prayer. Dear Lord, solemnize our mind. May our affections and thoughts and meditations be set on things above, not upon things of this dying world. Separate us in heart and affection from time things. Grant to us, Lord, the precious anointing of the Spirit. May we pray in Jesus' name, offer our petitions, indeed, on that one ground that we may offer, the perfect name, the glorious name of Jesus Christ. We would give thee thanks for the means of grace. Lord, it is only thou that can make it at this time to be the means of grace. Oh, as we are found approaching the throne of grace, it is with thankfulness that we can still gather together around thy holy word. Lord, but the blessing must be surely Jesus Christ in the midst. We're thankful as many as have gathered, and we hope and trust it is with desire that they do gather. But oh, to know Christ is amongst us. We do pray, Lord, for the Holy Spirit's influence. Lord, the sinner shall need the influence of the Holy Spirit this night, but not me only, Lord. Surely those in this good congregation, the Lord, shall profit by the word of truth, as the Holy Spirit may indeed suit it and apply it to them. We seek therefore, dear Lord, that we may be of one mind and of one heart. We pray for the pardon of our sins, putting away of all iniquities. Oh, help us to, with real repentance and godly sorrow, Lord, seek indeed the washing of thy precious blood upon our spirit. Lord, one said, I will arise and go to my Father, and will say unto him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Oh, is that not the language, Lord, of every believer? Convince us of our sin and lead to Jesus' blood. Lord, is that not the desire for all souls that are found this night in the house of God? We do pray, Lord, that we may not gather in vain, that it may please thee, Lord, to own and bless the word of grace. Lord, we have read the words of Jesus. Lord, two things we ask thee. Oh, may we never pray like a hypocrite. May we never pray like a heathen. Oh, how solemn, Lord. Oh, may we be found ever divinely taught to pray. Lord, we've known many times of tribulation, but they've never made us pray, Lord. Otherwise, the world will pray because they have their tribulation. And we do hope, Lord, that there's been that desire that has come into the heart to seek thee first. So be with us, Lord, at this time and through this service. Be very mindful of each one here. Lord, young people have gathered. Oh, may they be indeed the subjects of thy grace. We do pray for them, Lord, in this very dark and evil age and time. Lord, when we think of the wickedness that is indeed solemnly known within this land of ours, vile things, Lord, keep them. We pray to preserve them from evil and all who are evil. Lord, teach them to pray, to bring their concerns and their cares and their burdens to thee and lay them at the feet of Jesus. And those that are parents, oh, what grace is needed to bring children up in the fear of God. But we pray for all, Lord. Parents, grandparents, those, Lord, that are needy and poor, we do bless thee, Lord, that the grace of God is to be found evident by the poverty. Oh, we do ask thee, Lord, to indeed reveal the poverty of nature that we all have. Lord, reveal too not only the malady of sin, but the remedy also it is found in Jesus' blood. Lord, thou who art at God's right hand, may we pray that thou wilt speak for us. Lord, as we seek thy face, Lord, we cannot indeed, and we shall never in ourselves find anything worthy, Lord, of thy notice. But if we are one of those whom Jesus has died for, Lord, the poet says, points to their names upon his breast and spreads his wounded hands. Oh, we would have a revealed interest in Jesus Christ. Lord, we would be like those Greeks of old. We would see Jesus. Not that we shall with natural eyes, but with eyes of faith. Look beyond the clouds, look beyond this time's date, and have believing views of Jesus Christ. Oh, we do ask thee too, dearest Lord, that thou wilt look upon us. Oh, we read in the Gospel, Lord, before thou wast crucified, thou didst leave a very gracious promise to thy people. Ye now therefore have sorrow, but I will see you again. Oh, are there those here, Lord, that have the sorrow of sin that troubles them, that distresses them? Lord, we pray that thou wilt see them in the covenant of grace, that thou wilt anoint them, Lord, with pardoning love. Lord, thy word goes on to say, and your joy no man taketh from you. Oh, how many here, Lord, have known the joy of the gospel, of an interest in a crucified Christ. Lord, reveal mercy to those, Lord, that pray for mercy. Lord, the publican is not the only one that has to daily pray for mercy. And we pray for mercy because we feel the need of it, Lord. And we pray for mercy because it is in Christ and through Christ. That sacrifice made for sin is mercy. The precious blood that flowed from his wounds is the evidence of that mercy. The heart of Jesus Christ is a heart of love towards his people. And oh Lord, how can that be but because of mercy? Lord, there's nothing in us that merits esteem or gives thee our Creator delight. But we do pray, Lord, that sovereign grace indeed may be found in each heart. We do ask thy presence then and thy blessing in this place. Lord, may there be those here that shall indeed be found concerned with the welfare of their own soul this night. May there be those here, Lord, that shall know something of the love of Christ. And Lord, especially the constraining love of Christ. May there be those here, Lord, that have something to tell. Then will I tell to sinners round what a kind Saviour I have found. Lord, may there be those amongst us who have something to tell. Oh, open the mouth. Lord, thou hast said in command, open thy mouth wide, and I will fill it. Lord, we do pray, therefore, that the mouth of sinners may be open to indeed exalt Jesus Christ. Do remember, Lord, those who hold office here, what grace is needed, what patience is needed. Lord, we pray for them that they may be led and taught and helped in the administration of the cause. But also, Lord, in their silent petitions and supplications for thy blessing upon the word and indeed to see prosperity of a godly kind. We think of those who come here to preach, Lord. We do not doubt, as servants of God, they are sent of God. But we do pray that they may be sent of God to this place, that they may be sent to preach a word which thou wilt bless and make a blessing, so that it may be seen, Lord, that their labours are not in vain or their strength spent for naught. Wonderful mercy, Lord, when poor sinners are encouraged or comforted and strengthened, confirmed by the word of truth. Wonderful mercy, Lord, when the word comes where thy people are. Now, Lord, all of us are in one place in this, Lord. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Oh, but, dear Lord, there is that mercy that is found in Christ Jesus. Lord, we read his own words, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Oh, may that be the exercise, the desire, the seeking for and seeking after such a blessing, such a favour, an interest in the Saviour's blood, our pardon sealed, our peace with God. And so revive thy work in this place, Lord, and unto the church, therefore, those who are constrained by love. Lord, thou knowest the exercises, the silent, the secret exercises. Lord, we do pray that there may be those that shall be brought to the light, as it were, and brought into that place where, Lord, it is indeed to be confirmed the work of grace and the mercy that's in Christ Jesus. Hear our prayers for all in affliction's path. We do especially pray for thy servants in affliction, those that are now not able to preach. Be very mindful of them, help them to be still, Lord. those that are coming down to the end of their journey, all that they may be indeed to be given grace, Lord, to look towards and to see by faith that rest which remains for the people of God. Hear our prayers, and thou wilt not only bless thy servants with all needed help as they labour in thy name, but also that thou wilt send forth labourers more. But Lord, there is a word, and we do pray for this cause, that this word may apply. I will give pastors after mine own heart. Lord, put this cause in the heart of a minister. Put this minister in the heart of this church. Lord, may there be a coming together. May there be a blessing, Lord, indeed provided for this sanctuary. May there be that sought-seeking spirit for it, that inquiring of the mind of God concerning it. And Lord, may it please it that thou wilt indeed grant this blessing. Hear us too, Lord, for the afflictions and the tribulations of the way. Lord, thy word tells us, or the word of Jesus tells us, in me you shall have peace, in the world you shall have tribulation. Lord, those that know tribulation, may they know Christ, the Prince of Peace, he who brought peace about by Calvary's cross and the shedding of his blood. Lord, may thy presence be felt in tribulation. What a blessed sense of peace that is. Lord, when the children of God in their tribulations are brought to know the peace of God which passeth all understanding. Lord, the days are evil in which we live. We need to pray to be preserved from the evil. We are a wicked land, Lord. We have a wicked nation. We have a wicked rulers too. Oh, Lord, maintain the privileges that we have here this night. And Lord, an open Bible and a means of grace, maintain it, Lord, and continue it, we pray thee. All these things, Lord, are very precious to us. May we not lose them, Lord, but rather may we pray that they may be spared to us and to the generation following. Lord, prepare us each for what thy will is. Lord, as we know in a measure what thy will is, but Lord, only in a measure. We think of those dear souls that are in bereavement and sorrow. Lord, the will of the Lord has been done. Thou hast taken home to glory those of thy servants. Lord, that is the will of God. Father, I will that thou also now hast given me be with me where I am. Lord, thou hast promised glory to thy children. We need to pray to be prepared for glory, or that we might be found amongst the prepared of God. It's a prepared place, indeed, for a prepared people. Hear us in this, Lord. We do pray thee that we may indeed travel on as a few more steps, Lord, but have revealed to us that better home above. Oh, hear our cries, Lord. There's much we should pray for, but above all, Lord, we confess the need of mercy, the need of forgiveness, the need of pardon. Lord, oh, do take away the love of sinning. Lord, be with us now and help us. Lord, grant that we may be taught of the Spirit. Lord, we often pray for grace in this spot. But it is grace and the hearers we also pray for. How can the word of God be made a blessing to thy people unless it is under the exercise of grace? So may there be some souls in this place, Lord, that will find the word, and if thou wilt kindly apply it and make it a blessing, Lord, that we may come together on these truths. Lord, we thank thee for all thy providential supplies, the mercies of every day. Oh, thou art faithful and kind, and Lord, towards us in maintaining our lot. So, Lord, may we look now to thee and draw from thee. Oh, pour out us a blessing, that there may not be room enough to receive it. We ask these petitions in the name of Jesus and for his sake. Amen.
Hymn 1090. Prisoners of hope, to Jesus turn. He's a stronghold ordained for you. Gird up your loins and cease to mourn, and to the Lamb your way pursue. 1090.
Thank you.
seeking the help of God, I would ask your attention to the reading, Matthew Gospel chapter 6 and the last two verses. The sixth chapter of the Gospel is recorded by Matthew, verses 33 and 34. That seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. One of the hymns that you no doubt sing sometimes is the words, "Marks of Grace." This is the mark of grace, to be a seeker. It is not only a mark of grace to be a seeker, but to seek for those eternal mercies which will reveal they are of the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Not to have them revealed as they are recorded, but as they are experienced. May this blessing be with each of us, to be a seeker. What will be the evidence? Well, it won't be a natural seeking, will it? Those who are still destitute of grace will not be found in this text. But should they not be found in this grace, in this text, dear friends, how solemn it will be when it comes down to the swellings of Jordan. But what a mercy, dear friends, if your old nature has been revealed to you by the grace of God, revealing the poverty and emptiness that the old nature has really when it comes to spiritual things. How solemn it would be. I read once in one of Philpott's books about to have a religion that came out of the Bible. It's a very strange sort of thing to say, but he said if you've got a religion that comes out of the Bible, then you're wrong. What he meant was, of course, the knowledge of these things in the head. You can read from Genesis to Revelation of these eternal truths and favours. But how solemn it would be, dear friends, if it was all in your head and not affecting your heart and walk and conversation. This chapter is the next but one of the next but one to the last of the Sermon on the Mount. But the mercy, dear friends, is the importance of it. And as I've said, if you and I are found in this spiritual condition, it will be because the grace of God is evident. The life of God in the soul is evident. In the Gospel of Luke, chapter 10, Jesus Christ said to Martha, "But one thing is needful." And I suppose, dear friends, like you, like me, that you have at times been able to, as it were, draw some conclusion what these needful things are. And that's not wrong. But it'd be a great mercy, dear friends, if the one thing needful is that a seeking soul shall be a finder. The work of grace will reveal the awfulness of our old nature, sinfulness. And it will also reveal the poverty that we're in by nature. that the way of grace, dear friends, will also give. And blessed be God for that day to dawn with us all. And we shall have a seeking spirit. One of the things, if the Holy Spirit sanctifies tribulation, and I mean a personal knowledge of our wickedness and evil, if it's sanctified to us that we seek for and seek after this precious Christ in his pilgrimage journey, there were many that sought him. Countless numbers sought him, those who had conditions that only Christ could deal with. The blind received their sight and the deaf heard. Those that were sick of the palsy were healed. They came to Christ and they were healed. Dear friends, what a mercy if you've got a seeking spirit for Christ, because he's the saviour of the lost. This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. What a mercy, dear friends, if there's been a change whereby your seeking is not now for the things of time only. It is right to be a seeker, dear friends, when you that have the world to deal with, surely you have to seek for wisdom. May you also seek for grace, not only for the wisdom to deal with this world, but the grace to walk separate. But it will be the grace of God that will show you what is in Christ Jesus, and I put a seeking spirit in your heart after it, to possess it. The very word speaks, of course, of not possessing it. You wouldn't seek for what you possess. But if the exercise of your soul, dear friends, is a seeking exercise, it will be a longing exercise. If you can see the mercy, dear friends, of assurance, and who amongst us can honestly say before God that they are assured of their hope, that the place in glory has been prepared for them, that they are saved in the Lord with an everlasting salvation, that their sins and iniquities have been all put away. If anyone, dear friends, can be brought into that place, it will be a most favoured place. But if you've got grace in your soul, you'll seek for that blessing. The Holy Spirit, which records the words of Christ in that account in Matthew's Gospel, he said, blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. What a mercy, dear friends, if you and I seek for what we feel the need of. It's all very well, dear friends, to rest on the letter. The letter tells me, the letter tells you, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Dear friends, if he's taught you what it is to be a lost sinner, I tell you this, dear friends, it's one of the most favoured blessings that you could possibly have, this side of Jordan. But seek ye first the matter of what preceded, of course, is what the Lord Jesus Christ said in the concluding verse, or the previous verse, after all these things do the Gentiles seek. He didn't say you shouldn't seek for these providential mercies that are spoken of there. The what shall we drink? What shall we eat? How shall we be clothed? I'm sure there's many dear souls who have been the subjects of grace had to beg their way through life in a providential way as well. But if you know the value of your own soul, dear friends, if you and I know what it is to be concerned with the welfare of our soul as eternity comes on. May he also show you the mercy, what it is to be a seeker. Now, in my view, I hope I'm right in this, dear friends, those who seek obviously haven't got the enjoyment of the possession of the blessing they seek for, otherwise they wouldn't seek it. You don't seek for what you've got, but you rather seek for what you need to have. We mentioned the Greeks, or the Gentiles as they were. We would see Jesus. Dear friends, who amongst us would pray such a prayer? Who has a desire to see this glorious person? The hymn says there, shall we see his face and never ever sin, but that's heaven. Seek ye first. There's a lot of knowledge, dear friends, that you and I can indeed have, which I could only describe as being what we've concluded out of the Word of God. If we, as we read the Word of God, the Lord grant us an exercise desire to know it. It's one thing to know about it, dear friends, it's another thing to know or to have the possession of it. When we quoted just now in prayer, you now therefore have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man taketh from you. Could we not apply it to the seeking soul? We know that it applied, of course, to the resurrection day, the day of his, when he rose from the dead and met with his disciples again. But dear friends, are there those here, and are you and I amongst them who sorrow? You've got a sorrowful heart because of sin. It says, I will see you again. You will say, well, when did he see us first? Dear friends, before you was ever born, he saw you ruined in the fall and loved you notwithstanding all. What a mercy, dear friends, if the grace of God has been given, it has brought sorrow. You know, if you hear what some people speak about spiritual life, you would think it was one long path of joy and rejoicing. But it won't be this side of Jordan. There will be tribulation, there will be sorrows. What about the man who's described as the prodigal? He was a son of the father. But he brought himself into trouble by his sinful ways, and it brought sorrow. I will arise and go to my father, will say unto him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. But you know, he never was a hired servant. But what blessings were laid up by his father for him. Though he had so sadly sinned against his father, that was given those things that were only to be found amongst the sons and the daughters of the Most High God. Oh, is there those, therefore, this is a word of encouragement. I do hope, dear friends, that we haven't got a text that isn't suited to somebody here. I do hope, and I'm not putting words in your mouth, but dear friends, I hope that that the Lord has put in your heart a seeking spirit for the things of God, that he may be revealed to you. But what he's done, not only may be revealed, but applied to you. The words that we quoted just now about Christ Jesus coming into the world to save sinners, and the apostle said, of whom I am chief, was spoken out of experience. It wasn't spoken out of doctrine, but so much as it was out of experience. The apostle Paul could go back in his feelings, of course, to that wonderful day when he was brought to a stand before Christ. Now, this is a word, therefore, for somebody who is seeking and therefore not possess it. You may look upon the believing people of God as though they possess what they profess to possess. Sometimes it is a fleeting moment, or perhaps a short period of time when they're brought into possession what they seek for, or what joy and gladness there is then. And I don't want to discourage anyone, dear friends, but I tell you this. The scriptures tell me, and experience will tell you also, that the way to glory is one of tribulation. It's not this joyous walking on, as it were, towards the glorious day of Christ. It's tribulation, it's Satan's kingdom opposes the grace of God. Temptations, more or less, come into the upon the mind and upon the spirit, seeking to deter and to seeking to distress and trouble your soul, as you would be found seeking after Christ. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Now, dear friends, it's to seek to possess the kingdom of God. But is it not also to seek to know that you're within the kingdom of God? You don't have to know that you are in a kingdom on earth because you were born here. But dear friends, if you and I were, if we are the subjects of his grace and mercy, it is the subjects of the new birth. It's not some making of mind or some committing oneself to the way. It's by birth that you and I possess the evidence of the kingdom of God. It's that new birth, and it's vital. It's not a change of religion, it's not an influence of some denominational way. It's a heart work. The Holy Spirit is the author. I often refer to, and I do feel it's a very simple a way in which the apostle wrote that second chapter to the Ephesians. Having in the first, or the second and the third verse, speaking of what it used to be, he then utters two words, dear friends, which changes the scene immediately. But God. And dear friends, but God is the means and the way in which a dead, someone who is dead in trespasses and sins, will indeed be a seeking after righteousness. But God, who is rich in mercy for his great love, wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. You have heard numerous discourses from this pulpit. Dear friends, does it have any effect upon you? In this respect, dear friends, what you don't know, don't you seek after? We just read in that little extract of Ephesians 2 about his love. How much do you seek after an interest in his love? Oh yes, you'll tell me John's epistle says we love him because he first loved us. Oh, the depth of that love that he has towards his people who are born in sin and shapen in iniquity. Dear friends, do you seek for that evidence of his love? Greater love, we just quoted, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. May you seek and find an interest in his love. What a blessed exercise that would be. Paul the Apostle said in the Galatians, who loved me and gave himself for me. That was the blessing, dear friends, that the Apostle knew. And may the preachers, dear friends, in this pulpit, preach of the love of Christ. And I do hope, dear friends, also that you and I may be delivered from works of righteousness that we have done. When you think, dear friends, of the salvation, the salvation of his church, as he accomplished it on the cross at Calvary, it's on the one ground, the ground was love. Dear friends, not anything else. It didn't demand that you did this or you did that. If you read those commandments that we've all broken, there isn't a scrap of encouragement there, is there? But in the person of Jesus Christ, who accomplished the law and made it honourable, and he did this not for himself, of course, but for his church, there's a word in Philemon, for love's sake. All the blessings and favours which are found in Christ Jesus, dear friends, is known through his love towards them. But seek ye first the kingdom of God. Dear friends, seek first an interest in his love. The same apostle speaks of the love of Christ in the soul and towards Christ Jesus. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. That dear prodigal, the first blessing that he came into possession was love. Must have been. Dear friends, as a son, he would be the subject of the Father's love. The forgiveness that the Father had towards the prodigal was on the grounds of his love, not the grounds of anything that he could offer in respect of it. But then, dear friends, he had also some very gracious blessings to bestow upon him. You read that he bring forth the best robe and put it on him, shoes on his feet and a ring on his hands. If you've got a ring on your finger, there's no end to it, is there? There's no join. It's circular and it's complete. So is the love of Christ towards his church and people. Mine is an unchanging love, higher than the heights above, deeper than the depths beneath, free and faithful, strong as death. Do you seek to know that unchangeable love? Unalterable love? That which committed, I was going to say, and I hope that's the wrong, not the wrong word, but that which brought Christ Jesus to fulfill the covenant of grace and mercy for his church by removing their sins away. Seek for it. One of the marks of grace, I suppose we might say, many amongst the many marks of grace, we said the seeking spirit, here seek ye first, that's a mark of grace. But what about the petitions? In this sixth chapter, as we read, it was about prayer. Not the prayer of the hypocrite, neither the prayer of the heathen, but a gracious influence of the Holy Spirit in prayer. In other places, of course, within the gospel. Dear friends, you and I, has he taught you to pray? What brought you to prayer? Was it trouble? We've heard people say, you know, a pathway of trouble will teach you to pray. Dear friends, it never will, not on itself. There's a hymn, isn't there, that says, or there's a line of a hymn, he loads his shoulders well with woe, and thus obtains his end. Now the purpose is, dear friends, of his mercy, is to be taught by the Holy Spirit to pray. Part of the seeking, or the evidence of the seeking, of course, is a spirit of prayer for what indeed is found in Christ Jesus, for which your very heart and soul and spirit seek after. There's a very sweet word, very simple word, but a very profound word that the Lord Jesus Christ spoke when he was on the cross. He said to a thief, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. There's a question. Does your petitions, does mine, as it were, are subject to time or eternity. You've got many things to pray for, we all have. And daily we have to seek him. Daily we have to inquire at his footstool. Seek ye first. Dear friends, how many times you have to pray that you may be prepared for eternity. What a volume of truth that is. How can a sinner be prepared for eternity? Well, not in himself, of course he can't. It's the Holy Spirit's work. Dear friends, and that alone will make a desire for heaven. It's one thing to sing, "Prepare me, gracious God, to stand before thy face." Have you ever sought and prayed to be prepared for glory? To prepare for heaven? Dear friends, that's what Jesus Christ indeed had accomplished when he took their sins upon himself and suffered for it and died for it. Substitutional death. Dear friends, what a solemn thing to pray for life and not to pray for heaven. His own words was, I came to bring life and life more abundantly. I am come that they might receive life, that they might receive it abundantly. But the life of God, dear friends, is in preparation for heaven. The life of God in the soul is a work of grace. His glorious work in the soul is to prepare such a soul for glory, and to be found with him in Christ, to be found with him for all eternity in glory with the saints. Now, dear friends, the evidence must surely be with all of us, however old or however young you are. Dear friends, eternity comes on. May you be given this seeking spirit for eternity, that he may prepare you in time for an eternal home above. We used to have a little girl in Sunday school when I was at Hanover, and she was taught that hymn about heaven. I have a dear and happy home, and much my home I love, but is there now prepared for me a better home above? Who prays for a better home above? Dear friends, those that seek to be with Christ, which is far better. Well, you would say, well, it's not necessary yet, I'm only so old. Dear friends, who has control over your life? Who has your life in his hands? Or may you be found seeking for a place in glory, to be with Christ, which is far better. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Now, all of you, of course, with myself, have heard from our earliest days, I suppose, the way of mercy, the way of forgiveness, the way of pardon. There is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunged beneath that flood lose all their guilty stains. Dear friends, if you and I have grace, if we have the life of God, it will be sin, which will be our greatest trouble, our greatest burden. Seek ye first. Dear friends, when that dying thief said to Christ, "Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom," he received an answer: "Today shalt thou be with me in paradise." Dear friends, the sin of that thief was taken away. Must have been. Sinners go to glory, but sin doesn't go to glory. Redeemed sinners will. Oh, may you know more, and may I know more. I say this for myself as well, dear friends, what it is to seek for mercy. I know this, and you know it as well if you gave it a few minutes' thought. All the blessings and all the favours that you indeed enjoy in this life are mercies. You may rightly describe all his favours as mercies because they're undeserved. So therefore they are mercy. But there is a blessing, you know, if you stand by the grace of God in need of these things, you'll ever bless God that it was so. Dear friends, it is such a mercy to need mercy. The majority of mankind do not know what it means, and certainly has no desire for mercy. Majority, dear friends, of churchgoers and some chapelgoers, they wander on in life's journey, dear friends, and are not brought to see the need of mercy. I do believe, dear friends, if you ever pray for mercy, God has had mercy. You wouldn't want the Lord to grant you mercy if you didn't need it. And if you need it, he put it there in the first place. And you'll seek for mercy. Where is mercy to be found? What is mercy? Dear friends, you may apply, indeed, the word mercy to all his dealings with you providentially and graciously. But dear friends, when he brings a poor sinner to seek for those eternal mercies, I'm sure with me that you bless God for your temporal mercies. But they are only temporal. The word tells us, dear friends, that they are new every morning, and great is his faithfulness. And so we willingly give him the thanks and the praise and the glory for his faithfulness in supplying us with what we need. But these are temporal mercies. Dear friends, how often, how much do you pray for or seek after eternal mercies? It is not only to be found in Christ, but eternal mercies are to be found in the Church of Christ. Within the soul of the believer, dear friends, he will be the subject of eternal mercy. It must be so, or he wouldn't have prayed for them. It's a wonderful mercy too, dear friends, if you find there is a psalmist in the 40th psalm, when it ends with these words, "But I am poor and needy, yet the Lord thinketh upon me." Well, there's not much to boast about, you say, to be poor and needy. Bless God if you are. And bless God if he's taught you what it is to be poor and needy. How much do you possess in spiritual things that you could speak about? In my Bible it says this: "A little that a righteous man hath is better than the riches of many wicked." And dear friends, I do believe this, that children of God mourn over their littleness or their little possessions. Oh, but if it's a little, if it comes into that connection, "a little that a righteous man hath," it's sufficient to take you to glory, but it's not sufficient to satisfy the appetite or the desire or the seeking spirit. It's not sufficient. I do believe there's a time, dear friends, when the child of God will come to that place where he shall possess all he needs to possess. We used to have a dear saint at Zohar, and one of the things she said to me once, in a broken spirit, in a broken heart, she said, "You know, I have all I possess all I need." Well, when somebody says that, dear friends, out of experience, they're not long for this world. Because, dear friends, that's the end of a work of grace on earth. When they have all they possess, all they seek for. Oh, to have a blessing like that. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. But then, you know, if you and I could see all his dealings with us is mercy. There's no ground, dear friends, to stand upon. In no way at all you and I can stand upon that we have these things because we deserve them. There's only one thing we deserve, and that's eternal wrath as a sinner. And anything, I was going to say, anything greater than that must surely be mercy. But if he puts his life in your soul, dear friends, you'll put a desire for those eternal mercies which will be to, which are to the comfort of your soul in time and will be the subject of your song in eternity. The early chapter in the book of Revelation, it says this, doesn't it? Unto him that has loved us and has washed us from our sin in his own blood. Now, what would you lay that? What would you lay against such a blessing as that, dear friends? It is something that you pray for, you say? Indeed it is, something that you long for. But who could describe mercy, dear friends, anything greater than those desires? Love and blood, love first. Dear friends, and blood which is for the forgiveness and pardon of all our sins. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And then, dear friends, what's the evidences of your seeking spirit as far as the Church of Christ is concerned? You know, dear friends, if you and I are members of his mystical body, we are members of the Church of Christ. To seek to be found with them. The scripture tells me this. We know that we are passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. Now, I hope you will forgive me if I just tell you this. When you can see Christ in the people of God, you lose sight of their old nature. I tell this because I go back to the day when we stood before the church in Hanover Chapel. And I knew them ever so well. I was brought up amongst them. And of course, we all know both sides of a person. But I couldn't see that other side. I loved them for Jesus' sake, because I could see Christ in them. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Dear friends, do you seek to be found numbered with them? I don't mean, I know it says, numbered with them may I be now and through eternity. Came to my mind just now, when I was before we started the service, there's a little hymn that we sing at the ordinance. It speaks about their way we see is no gone, doesn't matter. But the truth of it is, dear friends, is to possess this blessing of being found amongst the children of God. You may say, well, are you not trying to preach the ordinance of believers' baptism? That's only, dear friends, the effect of the love of Christ. To be found, dear friends, walking in his commandments or according to his commandments, only should demonstrate the love of Christ in your soul and the love of Christ from your soul to him. When he says, When he speaks concerning the ordinance of the Lord's Supper, he says, do this in remembrance of me. Well, if you've got any love to Christ, dear friends, how can you be disobedient to his love? If out of love to your soul, he has suffered and died and rose again, if he's pardoned your sin and put it away by his provision of himself, self as a sacrifice. Dear friends, he doesn't ask much, does he? When the love of Christ constrains, and it is very seldom when it does, but should it do so, when it does so, dear friends, there won't be anything that you would stand against. Oh, seek for the love of Christ to motivate your soul after Christ. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. I want to just say this too. And all these things shall be added unto you. It's this truth, isn't it? What's first? What comes first in your affection? You might say, well, those that are near and dear to us. But what if he took them all away? Dear friends, if you know anything of Christ, You know this about Christ, that he's the same yesterday and today and forever. Now, he'll never leave his people. The text goes on to say that take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Oh, what grace is needed to do that, you know. We often fear the tomorrows, what they might produce, what they might reveal. But dear friends, whatever they will reveal, the Lord grants you the grace to see it is ordained of God, it is according to his holy will, and it's not out of anger but out of love. And it's also this, you know, when Moses spoke to Joshua when he was about to die, handing over the responsibilities of Israel to Joshua, and Joshua was raised up of God very solemn task of bringing Israel through Jordan into Canaan. But it's the promise that Moses gave to Joshua which is important, and the Lord, he it is that doth go before thee, he will be with thee, he will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Dear friends, why are you and I so burdened about the tomorrows? One day we shan't have a tomorrow. Why are we so overburdened about the tomorrows? If he's promised to be with you, he'll be with you on the tomorrows, whatever they will produce, whatever they may reveal. When I was looking at this word, I must admit it wasn't till during the afternoon, I suddenly realised what it said in the last verse. Take therefore no thought, therefore, because of this, take therefore no thought for the morrow. Dear friends, if God is your God, and you are the subjects of his love and mercy, and you're brought through grace to seek for those eternal mercies and favours, the things of tomorrow, dear friends, are safer in his hands. And all his dealings with you and me are dealings in love. Oh, may you be able to commit all things into his hands. There's not one word of this sixth chapter which would encourage you to laziness or unexercise. But what the purpose of this word is, dear friends, to teach his children what's first. And these things are first. A knowledge of him, an interest in him. What will be your comfort, dear friends, when you come down to the end? It's not what you know of the scriptures. Dear friends, we learn the scriptures, I suppose, by the number of years that we read them. But the experience of the truth that's within the word of God, that's what will be our comfort in that great day. Yes, I know Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. But what will be my comfort on my dying bed when it will be testified to my soul that I was amongst those he came to die for? What comfort that will be. That will take away the fear of dying. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Oh, how over careful we are. How over concerned we are with the things of time and sense. And yet this blessed Saviour has promised heaven for his people. Would he give you heaven afterwards and nothing on earth? Would he not maintain your lot through this life if he's promised you glory at last? Dear friends, would he leave you to suffer by privations if he's promised you heaven and glory? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. There's one thing I didn't say and I should say and I'm going to say. Dear friends, seek to know the Lord's will. I do hope, dear friends, that was one of the early mercies that I ever learned, and providential things as well as spiritual things, but to know the will of God in a matter. What it is, not just to weigh up this and that, whether it's right to do this or right to do that, but is it the Lord's will to do it? If it's the Lord's will for your pathway, dear friends, he will bless it and make it a blessing. Oh, but dear friends, and I say this very solemnly, if you've known the frown of God, dear friends, the Apostle Paul wrote to Timothy, and he said, study to show thyself approved unto God. Now may you have this grace given you, dear friends, that your pathway is approved of God, and he will maintain you, and he will supply all your need. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow. Psalm 37 has this verse in it. Commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. For the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof.
Willing, Mr. Richard Field is expected to preach next Lord's Day and Mr. Gilbert Hyde next Tuesday evening. Let us close with hymn 991. Emptied of earth I fain would be, the world, myself, and all but thee, only reserved for Christ that died, surrendered to the crucified. 991.
Thank you.
O Lord, thou hast said that thy word shall not return to thee void. Own and bless thine own word. O Lord, pardon and forgive what has been amiss in thine eyes. O cleanse the service from all transgression, Lord. Now as we leave thy courts, take us to our homes in peace and safety, and abide with us. The grace of the Lord Jesus, the love of God the Father, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, remain with us, both now and forever. Amen.